Good afternoon. This might be his favorite group yet. It just feels that way. I told the Lord earlier, I don't know what I was thinking. I was praying for somebody about something, somebody who was just discontent about something. And I was just thinking about, Paul said, though possessing nothing, I possess all things. Paul also said that he became poor that we might be made rich in him. So I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm the richest man I know. I'm the richest person I know. And he said, you're the richest person I know too. See, he knows the truth. He believes what this book says. The Lord just wants us to walk in his freedom. It's not like this freedom that Jesus says, now you walk in your expression of freedom. He wants us to walk in his expression of freedom. We're in Christ, and the glorious liberty that's referenced is his glorious liberty. He's our freedom. If we're called to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, not to obey Christ, but to his very obedience, his lifestyle, his surrender, his type of surrender, then the obedience of Jesus, if we get in on that, if we abide in that, then there's just such freedom with that. And, but my prayer is that the Lord would bring us to such a place that we would be so sensitive to what fruitfulness is beginning to emerge that we would want to catch the little foxes who wanted to destroy the vineyard. And it's not that sometimes I find that Christians have to have their consciousness rehydrated about certain things, that we can justify a certain behavior for so long that we stop noticing it as sin. And because when that happens, that's a part of our heart that becomes hardened. And we can hear the truth over and over and over again, but somehow it never seems to penetrate. And then finally one day, you go, oh, me. Oh, that's me. That's me he's talking about. Talked to a minister, somebody in ministry the other day, and they were saying that they were thinking about backing away, not someone that you would be around every day. My world is bigger than Christ the King. And I said, why? And they said, well, I just don't feel appreciated. And that didn't make me mad, but it made me sad because God's had to deal with me in that area, and it's not any fun. And so I had to say to them, so here's the deal. You want to walk away because somebody didn't express to you how wonderful you are. When your calling is to minister to the people that you're ministering to let them know how wonderful Jesus thinks they are. And I thought, well, if that's where you're at, you're going to be crucified. It's not going to be fun because you're going to constantly be offended. And they didn't even know it was being offended until we talked. And interesting. Those are little foxes, but have a big impact on our life. They destroy the vineyard while the vines are in blossom. And it's interesting, the enemy won't chew in some place new. I like that. As long as he can still chew on some place old that you don't get. You understand? Anyway, I'm in red because this is the feast of the beheading of John the Baptist. I told Karen, I said, here's what happened. As Herod was approaching him, somebody yelled at him, heads up, and he didn't pay attention, so off it went. I think John the Baptist appreciates that. Now, this section of Luke, I don't know why I told you the other. I guess the Lord wanted me to. But you're the richest person you know. And Jesus feels the same way about you. And the thing that's cool about that is that when you're in that place, the enemy can't touch you because he can't offer you anything. Some months ago, after I think I got back from Africa, or right before, I'm not sure, we spent time in this section of Scripture. And I kind of went back to try to find out what I said, but it's amazing. I think we had some days when it didn't get recorded or whatever, and I didn't write a lot of it down. And so it's up to the Lord to remind me of some things. I kind of had an idea of what we talked about. But I want to not just skip this place as we meander through John. But I think there's some really neat things about God's love for us. not just the way God loves you in terms of things, nice things he does for you, or just God's expressions of his kindness, but just his relationship with us. This whole thing about being saved, about being in relationship with him, and just how loving it is, how amazing it is that it brings him such pleasure to draw us into the fellowship of the Trinity. It brings him such pleasure that he grafted us into the sonship of Jesus. Think about that. That's a stunning remark. And so the first thing, this little section that I thought of, again, was about prayer. Because I think it's pretty remarkable that when Jesus said to Mary, I think this was a wedding, a family they knew. Mary maybe even was in charge of the stuff. I mean, maybe she was in charge of making sure everything was, all the food was there, or Gray Hall, I don't know. Whatever it was. But evidently, it came to her that they had run out of wine, which is a bad thing. It'd be a huge humiliation to the groom's family, and to the bridegroom. And so she goes to Jesus, because evidently she thought Jesus could do something about it. And so she goes to Jesus, and maybe it's before everybody else, the news had spread out to the room. I think that would be true, because there's no comment later that other people said, wow, you ran out, this happened. They didn't say that. They said, you saved the best for last. And she just said, Jesus, they have no wine. And I love what Jesus did. And again, I've come to a place where I don't think it was even just a statement of, when he says woman, I don't think this certainly wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't just a statement of dear lady. I think it was like, this is his mom. And he's like going, woman, what has this got to do with me or you? My hour's not yet come. And she totally ignores him and tells the servants, he said, whatever he tells you to do, do. That's interesting to me. Now, one of the things that says to me, and we're going to do this maybe on Sunday again, so just act like you never heard it. And if you're going to be gone for Labor Day, you won't hear it again. I'm thinking about not even being here for Labor Day. No. Just not show up and go, okay. I've thought a lot about prayer lately, and I've made this statement a couple of times, but never in the context where it might stick. I've taught a lot about prayer. We did 15 weeks on prayer here on Sunday mornings. We did a conference on prayer, a lot of that really good stuff. But on the part of intercession, in terms of God moving and acting, I just thought about this whole issue of our God's dream for us, that we would be drawn in to participate in the life through Christ of the Trinity, that we would have all the privileges of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, and our union with him and his humanity, and that all that he is and all that he has is ours. You know, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because we're in Christ. That's an amazing thing. And God did that because it was in his heart of love. I mean, why did God, who was Father, Son, and Spirit, think of doing that? Because they wanted to share what they had, who they were. It brought them joy, the thought of that. And so for me, it just struck me a few weeks ago, you know, Lord, prayer is just something, like, why do you do that? Why does God need us to pray? You know, we treat it like it's a legalistic thing, but it's really an act of love. It's like, it brings the Father pleasure. It brings the Father pleasure to include us. He has drawn us in. And so it brings him pleasure, brings the Father pleasure for you and me to partner. Brings the Father pleasure for you and me to partner with sovereign God in moving the pieces on the board of life and humanity and situation. That's amazing to me. Having heard that, it's like I don't really need to know anything else about prayer in terms of intercession. I don't have to figure it out anymore. I just know that when I pray in Jesus' name, when I'm in partnership with him, praying in his name, that I'm enjoying part of that whole sonship thing. I'm enjoying that part of God drawing me in to the fellowship of the Trinity. I'm enjoying because it brings him pleasure. He didn't have to do it that way. He didn't have to do it without me. He could do it without me, right? But he chooses to because it brings him pleasure. And it brings him pleasure for me to know the pleasure of partnering with sovereign God and moving the pieces on the board. And so when I saw this about Mary, What's always been taught, so all that's to say this, is that he, through Christ, because Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, right? So when Mary said this to Christ, Christ checked in. He's in union with the Father. He checked in. Father's in him, he's in the Father, and obviously the Father's like going, we're doing this. So through Christ, the Father says, we're doing this, and it happened. And it was like out of season, because Jesus said, my time's not yet come. It's not my hour. And yet, through Christ, God, his activity, or the timing of activity, was changed. Now see, that's dramatically enticing to me. That's all I need to know. You with me? Is that that can happen. Now, is God sovereign? Yes. I don't know the answers to all those questions. I just know this happened. But see, what people usually teach is, because remember, this is the first miracle. That's what it says. And it's recorded because everything here, he says at the end, and the believers, the disciples, believed in him. Well, they already believed in him. They left everything to follow him, but they believed more. So everything in this story is to help us believe more, to be more childlike. So it's this childlike thing that goes, wow, through Christ, I can influence God's activity on the earth. Doesn't it break a lot of laws or rules of God being God? No, it plays into what God wants, what brings him pleasure. I don't have to explain it, just enjoy it. But what usually happens is this, is that people think, well, here's the deal. Mary was so close to Jesus. She was so intimate and so close to Jesus that she had kind of earned the place. She kind of earned the right to ask him to do something out of season and he would respond. Or maybe she was so close, she just had more of his heart in a way. And therefore, he acted on her behalf. So if we could ever just get as spiritual as Mary, that's the use of the sermon. If you'll just get as spiritual as Mary, then you've come to a place where your intimacy has kind of earned you the right, or you've gained his heart more to where you can move God through Christ to do things that he might not would have done. But I just want to say to you that I reject that. I don't think that's what happened at all. I think Mary was so intimate with Jesus, she knew his heart and therefore was bold in asking the question. It wasn't because she was more qualified. It wasn't because she had earned a place. It wasn't because she had more of his heart than you do. That's not possible. When I told the Lord this morning, I'm the richest man I know. He could have said, or the richest person I know, he could have said, well, I mean, you're doing well, but I can name a few that were much richer than you spiritually. There was like Mary and John and Paul. He didn't say that because it's grace. I believe that Mary's intimacy, I believe that her closeness to Christ didn't earn her a place. She didn't have his heart more. She just knew his heart more. She just knew his heart more. She knew his ways and looked to him because she'd been with him. She'd watched how he modeled who God was. And she knew that God cared about this family being humiliated. It wasn't a story about, and God would stop an atomic war or stop the Romans from slaughtering millions of Jews. This was about running out of wine. You with me? And God expressed his love for them so much, Jesus blessed 900 bottles of wine out of water. 900 bottles. That's kind of overkill, don't you think? But Mary knew him well enough to go, I know his ways, and he cares. He's good. His nature is love and grace. And therefore, Jesus, they've run out of wine. Woman, what has this got to do with me or you? My hour's not come. And she goes, whatever he tells you to do, do. Because she knew him. It wasn't because she had earned a place, because she was so spiritual. Intimacy is important, but because of her intimacy, she knew him. That's the deal. Intimacy is about not earning more. It's about discovering more. See, familiarity in the kingdom doesn't breed contempt. It gives birth to faith. You learn his ways. And then it becomes really fun, moving the pieces on the board through Christ, moving God to act. He didn't have to do it that way. He could do it without that, but he loves doing it that way because he's my Father, and he just loves for me to be involved and the joy that comes to doing all that. But it's not something that you earn, but it is something that you have to believe And intimacy does cultivate that. Amen? I just think that's a really important word. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.